If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Today the service will end with baptism. And that is the last thing that some of the people being baptized will remember. Going under the water. And that's it. We'd like to take a look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following. Because I think it's a good opportunity. We don't have baptism often at Grace Bible Church. And I do appreciate Steve Garcia's help. Steve is here early filling the baptism with warm water. I was at a Baptist church in Northridge years ago where the water was 42. We did the baptism, but the frostbite was harder to deal with after that. And that was cold water. Now, we'd like to talk about why we baptize. What is the purpose of baptism? And different groups believe different things. Why is that there isn't a unified teaching on baptism? Well, the reason why is man doesn't necessarily read and listen to God's Word. Man puts his own thinking and traditions into it. And therein lies the trouble. When man gets involved in anything, it often clouds the Word of God, and the Word of God clarifies the purpose of baptism. Now, in the book of Acts, Jesus told the Jewish disciples back in Acts chapter 1, they said, "Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And understood in that was, and bring back Jewish superiority and get rid of all of those dirty, stinking Gentiles. And Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, it is not for you to know anything of that. What you're to do is preach the gospel. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And at that point, the disciples stopped hearing what Jesus said. That happens when I preach or teach in Sunday school. You know me. The moment I say something, it can irritate the socks off of people. And then they stop listening. The disciples were just like that. Human nature is human nature. I love you anyway. And when they got to the word Jerusalem, that's all they heard. But do you notice what Jesus said? In Jerusalem, Judea, and then something that shocked him, the Jewish Messiah, whom they cried, "Hosanna, Nukem, Lord, Nukem," started saying something that is shocking. "You're going to be witnesses to me, not only in Jerusalem and Judea, the Jewish areas, but in..." Why, the Samaritans were hated. John wanted to nuke them. "Lord, let's call fire down from heaven on those Samaritans." And then he said something even more shocking. "To the remotest parts of the Gentile world." Woo! And so you know what happened? They didn't go. If you'll notice in Acts, they stayed in Jerusalem and Judea. And by the way, up to Acts chapter 8, it's been years since Jesus said that, ascended, went into heaven, and they're sitting there in Jerusalem and Judea going, And Jesus, you know, is not happy with this because the gospel is for everybody. You could become a son and daughter of Abraham not because of ethnicity, but because of the born-again New Covenant experience. So you know what the Lord used? He used the sermon of a Jewish preacher in Acts chapter 7. His name was Stephen. Now you got to get to know something about Stephen. Stephen was a Hellenized Jew. He was a liberal. He adopted Greek custom. He wasn't a Hasidic. He wasn't a Pharisee. This guy was a lot like a Greek. And the Lord gave an opportunity for Stephen, who was one of the deacons of the local church in Jerusalem, to preach a sermon. And in Acts chapter 7, have you ever read the sermon of Stephen? Because up to Acts chapter 7, all that the early church who were Jews got from the rest of their group was rejection. Now, this is the amazing thing about Acts. It's telling you how could a Jewish church end up being all Gentile? And it's telling you the story. And Stephen was proclaiming Jesus, the new covenant, that Jesus is greater than Moses, and that the Gentiles can become joint heirs with the Messiah. And he preached that sermon. They took him before the Sanhedrin, which was filled with priests and Pharisees. And you know what he told them? This is why I like this kind of preaching. You're a bunch of stiff-necked people that never obeyed God in the history of Israel. Ooh, that'll get you. That'll get you popular. Have you ever read Stephen's sermon? He goes through the history of the Old Testament. He says, you know what the Old Testament proves? That God was right. When He called His people, they became nothing but stiff-necked rejectors. You crucified Him. He's the Messiah. And He told the whole leadership of Israel, repent! So you know what they did? They got so mad at that sermon. That's why, see that back door over there? I have back doors. That they rushed out of the Sanhedrin, these seats. You ever see one of those universities that have all those seats up here and the professors way down at the bottom? They all rushed out. They grabbed Stephen. They took him outside the city. You know what they did to him? They stoned him. Now, let me tell you something. If you're going to preach the Word of God, you got to watch these preachers that never say anything that bother people. Because they're not doing God's work. Stephen, Peter, James, and John, they were all getting in trouble for what they preached. There is no such thing as a seeker-sensitive sermon. Now, we can be gentle to unsaved people. But Stephen, and that is in Acts showing that God's people, His chosen, were frozen and were rejecting. But in the next chapter, chapter 8, God sends that persecution of Stephen and the whole church. The church became persecuted because of this, because of Stephen's preaching and what they were teaching. The Jewish Messiah is Jesus and everybody's welcome to join Him. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. And the whole church went under persecution, and guess what happened when the church was persecuted in Judea and Jerusalem? What would that force them to do? Scattered! And because of persecution, Gentiles, us, began to hear. And the first, one of the first ones that get to hear the gospel had a special thing happen. Philip, it says, in Acts chapter 8:26, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. That's one of the deacons that survived. Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. By the way, and it says in parenthesis, this is a what? Now, why in the wide world would God send a guy to the desert? And you know what's going to happen here? A baptism. Where do you get water in the desert? With God, all things are possible. Sends into a desert to baptize. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch. Hey, an Ethiopian eunuch, as far as un-Jewish as you can get. This is an African. Dark skin. Completely Gentile. God wants the gospel to every living creature. And he happened to be a eunuch. And he talked like this. You know what a eunuch is? He's missing parts he was born with. He's talking like this. You figure that out. Can't preachers have a sense of humor? By the way, Daniel was a eunuch. Daniel talked like this. You ever heard of a castrato? In Middle Ages, they used to, for singing, used to do certain things so that the guy's voice would always remain high. And he was in charge of all of her treasure. God chose a man that would be highly influential to spread the gospel. And he was returning, sitting in his chariot. Well, how in the wide world do you sit in your chariot and journey? They had self-driving chariots in those days. Just like we're going to get into self-driving cars. No, just kidding. He had a servant that was driving the chariot. It was a nice chariot, leading him back through the desert. And he's reading the Word of God. And it so happens that he's reading the greatest messianic passage that there is. Isaiah 53. And it, as he read, he was led, and Philip, Spirit tells him, go join that chariot. Well, I'd be afraid today, if you start running toward my car, I'm going to speed up. But in those days, it wasn't that bad. So he joins, and he starts explaining Isaiah 53 to him. And he said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, he does not open his mouth. And the Ethiopian eunuch asks a very perceptive question. Who does this refer to? And he proclaims Jesus to him. And that Ethiopian eunuch, as far from Jewish as you can get, is born again and saved. And then, immediately after this person is saved, he's... Peter talks to him about, whoop, nothing like blinding yourself during the sermon. He must have preached not only that receiving Jesus, but making a testimony among his own people for Jesus. Because he said, you've talked to me about baptism. There's water. Now, how in the wide world do you find water in a desert? And it just so happens that right after he's done, they run across an oasis where there's water. And out in the middle of the desert nowhere, right after he gets saved, he makes a public testimony. Who's ever there at the oasis sees Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch get into the water. Hey, that's drinking water. Stop that. And they baptize him. Now, let me talk to you about baptism. Because of men, men have confused what baptism is. The Word of God says, you're saved by grace through faith. And all of that, grace, faith, salvation, is not of yourself. It is a gift. You cannot earn salvation. There's no brownie points for salvation that you can get. God wants the glory for saving you, so you're saved by grace plus nothing. But in church history, men got involved, and you know, it's good to keep people in fear. So they began to wear robes and crosses and hats and kept their people in fear, and they began to say through tradition of men, not the Bible, that you need to have us baptize you and it conveys salvation to you. And they called it a sacrament. If you go to a church and they call baptism a sacrament, run like a bat out of hell. Because they're saying to you that by somebody dressing up in a robe with a hat and with a bunch of jewelry that's swinging like this, that it's going to be special, that it will convey salvation to you by the mere act of the clergy sprinkling some water on you, and that will save you. Listen to me, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. So we do not teach here baptism is a sacrament. Nobody gets saved through being baptized. Then why do we do it? We call it a symbol, and this is what the Bible meant it to be. When you become baptized, you're going to stand in that water in just a second, and you're going to give a witness to everyone here that, number one, you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, and two, you're His disciple. That is all it means. But Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before the angels and my Father in heaven. So it doesn't save you. It can't. But it does give a public witness in symbolic fashion of what Jesus Christ did in reality. You, when you trust in Him, you get credit, undeserved, you get credit. You didn't earn the credit, but you get credit for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You're what they call in Christ. And you're testifying to what already happened. Baptism ain't producing that. And I use ain't a lot because it makes people mad, and that's just a talent I have. It ain't conveying grace to you. It's testifying that you've already received God's grace, and you want to make everyone know as a public witness that you're a disciple of Jesus and will follow Him. That's all it means. By the way, the Ethiopian eunuch, did they have a catechetical class to teach him all of these things? No, he just says, there's water! So this idea of even men putting in catechetical classes and explaining a lot of things, really you don't have that with the Ethiopian eunuch. He goes right to water. So you're making a decisive statement this morning that you will follow Jesus and you'll live for Him and that God has already saved you. And that's what it does, is just acknowledge I'm the Lord's and I follow Him. Okay, I'm going to ask that you give us a second while Steve and I... And the reason why I'm doing it at the end of the service is last time I leaned a little bit, water rushed in, and I don't want to stand in front of you with wet pants, okay? I mean, it's just not the thing you do for dignity, you know what I mean? So we'll be right back. No two elders. There is a leak in this duck hunting outfit. It is... We need to get something new, I think, or find a leak. By the way, it says Browning here. We are a nonviolent church, nor do we advocate violence, but this is a duck hunting outfit. But I want to tell you something about the founding fathers. Preachers in the day of the revolution of 1776 kept cannons in the backyard of the church and muskets underneath the pulpit. So if the British came collecting weapons, they were ready. I'm a wild man. And thank God it's been the Bill of Rights and the Constitution that have kept America free to proclaim God's wondrous word of the gospel for 200 and some years. But again, we're nonviolent. And this is just to keep me from getting wet, but it's not working. I don't know what this is, but
I'm leaping over.
What's that for?
Oh, it's a step. This is a step for the littler kids that you might not be able to see their testimony. What could I do? Couldn't do anything without Steve. You know what I mean? You got the one that didn't leap, didn't you?
No, mine's leaking at this moment. I was just thinking about that. These are in order.
Okay.
Okay, those will be in order.
It is a great privilege to help people testify of their decision to follow Jesus Christ as His disciple. And He tells His disciples how to act in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes. And God's people need to take the Sermon on the Mount as a disciple of Jesus very seriously. And it said, "Let your light so shine before men that when they see your life, glorify the Lord Jesus." That isn't the thought of some Christians. I'm going to expose my light to you. No, that's shine for Jesus. And so they want to shine for Jesus this morning by giving you their public testimony that they've made their decision to follow the Lord as the sole person that is worthy of their devotion. The first one will be someone that I've known for a long time. And we're glad his grandpa and his family is here to witness this. Will the Henry stand? Christian Henry? Come on. Those of you who know Chris, come on. Come on, Christian. Is it cold or warm?
It's warm.
It's warm? I can't. All I know is that I'm feeling cold, wet water seeping in right now. Christian, there's your family. They are so happy that you have decided to be baptized. Christian, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And have you decided to become His disciple, His follower?
Yes.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith in Him and Him alone that we offer this symbol through baptism of your following Jesus. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't have my glasses.
Montana.
Dumbert. So I left my reading glasses. I can see you cursing and swearing at me for my sermon, but I can't read up close. Okay. Hi, Montana. Come on in. Where's Montana's family?
Mom's getting baptized right here.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Here's a, make sure we can take a picture for Montana. If you'll stand on that thing there. Montana, we're so glad that you've decided to follow Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And have you decided to become His disciple and follow Him alone?
Yes.
Okay, it is on the basis of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Were we going to read Bible verses? Because they didn't tell, you know, you got to tell the guy that's going to be dunking everybody about what you want to do. Okay, then we should. Ron, who reads these? The family?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to give it to Ron. Ron's our main prayer and reader for Bible study, but okay, so we've got to do that for Christian
and from Montana.
From Montana. So, Christian family, what verse were you going to read?
It'll be Dwight.
Dwight, sorry. My...
That was my fault.
Would you read Christian's verse?
Mark chapter 16, verse 16.
What's it say?
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned.
Okay, remember now, it left out baptism in the sense that he believes not. So baptism is merely the outward sign. It's the only sin that can't be forgiven is failure to believe. That is it. And who? Montana.
Montana.
Who's reading Montana?
Who? What verse?
She's Romans 3:23.
Okay.
Paul, read
Romans 3:23.
Romans 3:23.
Okay, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Was there an exclusive? Was there anybody excluded from that?
All have sinned.
The great news is we're all guilty. The great news is there's nothing that God can't forgive. Who's next? Spencer.
Spencer. And his mom is Loretta. She's coming to read.
Okay, Loretta, you want to read? Stand up on this. Probably best just to. Loretta works in our preschool. We are glad to have our people from preschool.
I was all prepared. So
that's okay. We're in no hurry.
Spencer chose for his Bible verse 2 Peter, verses chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Spencer, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Have you decided to become His disciple and to follow Him alone?
Yes.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Angelique.
She comes. That's his sister.
That's Spencer's sister. Is the water warm? It just feels wet to me right now. Come on. I'm up here on that thing. Angelique, you're going to read the verse then?
Angelique chose Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Okay, Angelique, if you stand up on that so that everybody can see. Okay. Angelique, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Have you made the decision to become His disciple and follow Him alone?
Yes.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead. Samantha? Who's taking pictures?
I think, I don't know if we're online. Oh, I know Alan is over there. So you say hi to Alan.
Are you taking pictures, Alan? Okay, because that camera was there on the day. Samantha, we're glad to have you a part of our church. Samantha used to live in Santa Clarita. She's now out in Oxnard. She went to a church where I know some of the people there, and she wanted to be baptized. Samantha, your verse.
Really?
She gives it to me.
Paul will read it.
This is stage fright.
No.
I
get up in front of this group all the time.
Samantha, what's the verse?
Mine's 4, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Okay. I can't remember the name.
Samantha, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Have you made the decision to be His disciple and His disciple alone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it is on the basis of your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eddie Maxwell, I had the great privilege last Sunday of hitching John Jr. and Eddie. And then we went out to dinner and celebrated and got pulled over by the police and John was driving. Not really. But we are so glad that Eddie and John found each other. And that she wants to make a testimony of baptism to everybody. Eddie, what verse do you want John to read?
2 Corinthians.
It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Eddie really liked this verse after she accepted Jesus as her Savior. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come.
Eddie, have you trusted Edna? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
And have you decided to be His disciple and follow Him along?
Yes, I do.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jaime Marcello is next.
Yes.
Who's going to read for Dad?
Yes.
All right. Can we lower that somehow? Thanks. Jaime's daughters will read for him.
John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
That's right there. We are so glad that Jaime and his family, also families of the preschool, are with us. Jaime, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith and faith alone?
Yes.
And have you decided to be His disciple to live for Him?
Yes.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next is Stephen Ball. I always mention that I know one preacher that was electrocuted for touching the microphone being in the water. But I have an electrician that's going to be baptized, so I'm hoping that I'm betting against those odds right now. The Ball family will read for their spouse and dad.
We're reading Psalms 23. It's out of the ESV version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in Your presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Stephen, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior on the basis of faith and faith alone?
Yeah.
And have you decided to become His disciple to follow Him?
Yes.
It is on the basis of your testimony of faith in Jesus that I baptize you in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How long did the Ethiopian eunuch have to wait to be baptized? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else while we're in the water and it's leaking into my duck outfit that would like to make this profession of faith? You can if you would like. Miles, you're going to have to read. Do we have an outfit for him?
Yes, I guess.
We'll get you the outfit. Anybody else? A profession of faith in Jesus. Remember, you don't have to be a member of this church. What is church membership? It only means you can vote the pastor out. Why would I want members of the church? Come on. Choose a scripture verse.
Okay.
So you've hired a crazy preacher that when the Bible tells you that the Ethiopian eunuch can immediately run into the water, this is a public testimony of what you want to tell people of your faith in Jesus. Remember, Brother, Where Art Thou? Remember they were baptized in the river in Louisiana? Remember that? You ever see Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Come on, I always let you out on time. What's a little few minutes after? You know what I mean? Anybody else? This is a great opportunity. Before they fix this thing and get the leaks out, you can...
Is it? It's leaking? Oh, yeah, mine too.
For all of those who are waiting to be at the restaurant at 12:15 or get busy, this is important. We're finding baptismal gowns for everybody. That's so you can feel extra special wet when you get out of the water. Did you think the Ethiopian eunuch wore a baptismal gown? Another tradition of men, huh?
Maricela,
I'm sorry. Maricela, we're glad that you could join us. You don't have to be a member of Grace Bible Church. You have to be a member of Jesus Church. Maricela, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Him alone, on the basis of faith?
Yes.
And are you testifying by this that you are His disciple and His disciple alone?
Yes.
It is on the basis of that
sorry, I...
Thank you.
Read.
The scripture I chose is, I don't remember where it is exactly, but it says, let everything you do be done in love.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just go back.
Okay.
Who's next?
We have one more.
One more.
Where you can teach.
We're finding a gown. Here they come.
Michael.
With C Street, right?
Yes, and Carlos is going to read the verse.
We'll baptize him into the family, huh? Okay. You watch too many movies. Michael, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior on the basis of faith and faith alone?
Yes.
And if you decided to be His disciple and His disciple alone?
Yes.
It is on the basis of your profession of faith in front of C Street Church family? You're right. Go ahead. Sorry, Carlos.
I didn't want to stop you.
You
could
have. You should have. They do it all the time to me. Go ahead.
It's a happy moment for all of us, first of all, because we know what this brother's been through, and it's just awesome to see him there committing to publicly show that love. So I'm going to read Acts 15, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as also did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith."
No distinction.
Welcome to the church family.
Michael, it is on the basis of your profession of faith and your testimony that you are His disciple and His disciple alone that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One more. Now, if Philip would have said to the Ethiopian eunuch, "Sorry, but I got to go to lunch and I'll be back." We're just getting the last person with the gown on getting ready. Matthew's coming up. Matthew's family wants to read a verse. Dad, come on down. Okay, Mom's here. Okay. Matthew, we'll let your mom read a verse.
His verse is, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life."
No better verse in all of the Bible. Matthew, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith and faith alone?
Yes.
And have you decided
as this public testimony to be his disciple and follow him alone?
Yes.
It is on that basis that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I got to get out of here before it's too wet.